My brothers, my sisters in Christ, today is the second Sunday in Advent. It is also the second weekend of our four-weekend parish mission. I would like to talk today about something that is very, very beautiful and very simple. Faith journeys and faith experiences within the faith journey. The book of Deuteronomy in the very first chapter tells us, "The Lord your God carried you as a man carries his child all along the journey." I cannot imagine any imagery more beautiful than God's relationship with each one of us as a father carrying a child on a journey, especially when the child is tired. I'm sure you've all heard the story about the footprints in the sand. It may not be true, but it certainly is helpful to illustrate what I want to talk about here today. A man one time was given a vision of his faith journey. He saw it in terms of two sets of footprints in the sand. As he walked on his faith journey, the Lord walked with him side by side. But there were times on his journey when there was a lot of pain and a lot of discouragement, when he had his back to the wall. And at those times on his faith journey, he saw there was only one set of footprints in the sand. So he complained to the Lord and said, "You were with me on the journey, but you deserted me when I needed you most." And God the Father said to him, "I was never closer to you than in the moments of your deepest suffering. At those times you were so weak you could not even walk, so I carried you on my shoulders. The set of footprints you see on the sand, the single set, they're not yours, they're mine, because at that time I literally carried you." What a beautiful imagery. Indeed, if the Lord ceased to be with us for even one moment in terms of his conserving creative power, we would go back to exactly what we came from, which is literally nothing. But the Lord doesn't walk with us in that way only, in terms of creator. He walks with us in terms of a loving Father who cares deeply and intimately for each one of us. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Keeping the commandments are indeed very, very important, and keeping them is a sign of our commitment and our love for the Lord. But keeping the commandments in itself is not sufficient. Theoretically, a good pagan who had never heard of Christ, but who did everything he possibly could to have a conscience that was based on his understanding of the natural law, and with God's grace, theoretically, he could keep the commandments. But the Lord asks us more than that. If you could take the example of a husband and wife, a husband may give his wife many things, very important, but what is most important is the spousal relationship, the love, the respect for the person. And so it is in our spirituality. It must always be God himself, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and especially, of course, the Son made incarnate in Christ Jesus our Lord, who will always occupy the center of our spirituality and from which everything else will flow. As we walk on our faith journey with the Lord, in the life of each one of us, and on that faith journey, there are times when the Lord will touch us very profoundly in ways that we will never forget. The way itself may be very simple, but it is so profound and so intimate, it will always remain with us. My very, very first faith experiences, of course, came from my own family. It was my parents who, above all, had taught me to pray, how to make the sign of the cross, who brought me to Mass. who taught me in so many different ways what it was to be a follower of Christ. One of God's greatest gifts to me, particularly as a priest, that no matter in what part of the vineyard I have worked, he has always brought into my life the gift of wonderful Catholic lay people. The vast majority of them could not write a treatise or a theological treatise on their faith, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, they have grasped what the gospel is all about, and they live it very, very simply and very profoundly. And in the process of doing that, they touch the lives of so many others, myself included. Let me just give you one very simple example of a faith experience from my own life as a priest. Going back quite a number of years, I was working in the Philippines on the southern island of Mindanao. One day at a barrio fiesta, a woman came to me and asked me to know would I bring the last sacraments to her husband who was dying. And so we began the walk from the village to her home. It took almost of 2 hours. When eventually we came to the little hut in which they lived, it struck me as strange because it was on the top of a hill in the midst of a clump of coconut trees, in total isolation from other houses, which is most un-Filipino. So I stepped into that house. It reminded me of the biblical ends of the earth, Jesus saying, "You will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth." And there, at the biblical ends of the earth, in that little hut, I found a man who was literally a saint. His name was Juan de la Cruz. He could barely read or write, but he was very, very intelligent and very sharp. God had blessed him and his wife, I think it was with 6 children, and 2 of them had died very, very young because of a lack of the very basic necessities in life. He knew that others had become rich on his sweat, that he had been ripped off. And I asked him to know, was he angry with those who cheated him and who literally stole from him through unjust laws and unjust structures? And he told me no, for the very simple reason that he himself was a sinner. And if he expected to be open to God's forgiveness, that he in turn must be willing to forgive those who had hurt him and sinned against him. I heard his confession, anointed him, and then I took the host out of the pyx, and just as I was about to hold it up, I saw him trying to struggle out of bed. I put the host back in the pyx, and I said to him, "Juan, you're very, very sick. You're dying." There was no problem about saying that. We had talked about death, and he looked upon it as a friend that would relieve him from great pain. His stomach was horribly distended because of cancer growth in his colon, and he had no money not only for surgery but even for medicine to relieve the pain. He knew that the end was near, and so he said to me that Jesus was literally dying when he carried a cross to him, for him to Calvary. And now that he was about to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, this would be the last time that he would have that great privilege. The next time he would see the Lord would be when he stood before him face to face for judgment. So I said, "I want to receive him on my knees." So that man literally struggled out of bed. He held onto the bedpost, and as I held up the sacred host and said for him in his own language, "This is Jesus Christ who takes away the sins of the world," I saw deeply etched in that man's face something very, very special. I knew here was a man who just didn't intellectually believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. But he knew with every fiber of his being, he knew with a certitude that comes only from the convincing power of God's Holy Spirit, that what he was looking at, the sacred host, was literally Jesus Christ, true God and true man, totally, completely present in the Blessed Eucharist. And the thought struck me, how strange indeed are the ways of the Lord. Here I am, a Catholic priest, having come thousands of miles from Ireland to bring the faith to the people of the Philippines. And here, at the biblical ends of the earth, in a little hut, in the midst of a clump of coconut trees, I find a man who is literally a saint, on his own knees, with a faith that far transcends my own. And then I had a great grace. I realized that any of us who approach our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a heart and a mind that is totally, completely open to his will, who can say to him, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will, do with me what you will," that the Lord can literally work miracles of grace in that person's life. And this is what he did in the life and in the heart of Juan de la Cruz. 3 or 4 days later, I officiated at his funeral. There have been many times since then that I've asked him to intercede for me, because I know he is very near to the Lord. And I remind him of the day that I walked from a barrio to his little hut at the back of beyond to bring him the sacraments. And I know that Juan constantly intercedes for me in all my needs, because we believe in the communion of saints. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Juan de la Cruz taught me, or gave me, a faith experience of the Eucharist that I could never have learned from books. He was an instrument of God in deepening my priesthood and in my commitment to Christ and the Eucharist. Young people today, I don't know how their faith can survive without these faith experiences. Granted, they're living in a totally different world to the world in which I was brought up. But the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and always. He loves each person with a love that is beyond all human understanding. And he lays upon us the obligation and the duty, especially on parents, priests, sisters, and those who have committed themselves to the service of the Lord in any way, to be open to creating faith experiences for these young people whose values and whose faith is not yet fully formed, so that they will, in time to come, as they mature, that they too will grow in Christ, and that their faith will find a meaning in their lives, and that they in turn will be able to pass it on to the next generation of Catholics. Above all, this must happen in the home. Barbara Bush, the wife of the first President Bush, one time made a great statement: "What happens in your home, or what happens in your house, is far more important than what happens in the White House. What happens in the White House is important, but what happens in our homes is important, even greater, to a greater degree. Above all, it is to fathers and mothers that the Lord has given the obligation, in virtue of their vocation, to form Christ and the values of the gospel in the hearts and the minds of the little children temporarily entrusted to them by Almighty God." Our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, in his beautiful encyclical on the family, a theme he repeats over and over again in so many different ways, that the Catholic faith is transmitted from one generation to the next, primarily by way of the family. In conclusion, I want to encourage every person here at Mass today to try, especially during this holy season of Advent, to be generous with our Blessed Lord, to give Him the space and the freedom that He needs to send His Holy Spirit into the life of each one of us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can look not just skin deep, but deep, deep inside each one of us, and become aware of our own intimate, personal faith experiences from our faith journey. Your faith experiences may be different to mine, but that's beside the point. The point is that they are yours, and mine are mine. And when we make contact with them, they may not set anybody else on fire, but they will certainly give us that deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In conclusion, if I could just use a rather crude analogy. Suppose that there is somebody here at Mass today, and let's say last month you bought a ticket for the California State Lottery, and the draw has already taken place. First prize is $100 million. You have the winning ticket, but you're not aware of it. You threw it in a drawer and you've forgotten about it. You can never claim the prize, even though it is legitimately yours. Now, what a far, far greater tragedy it would be if each one of us has this tremendous treasure of faith experiences from our faith journey within ourselves, but we are so insensitive to the ways of the Lord and not giving the freedom to God's Spirit, that we are not even aware of this treasure that is within, then it remains like the treasure buried in a field. And what a tragedy that would be. So could I encourage you then, as we continue our preparation for the birth of the God-man Jesus Christ at Christmas, that we prepare ourselves by being reflective and giving the Lord that freedom that He needs to communicate with us and to make us realize how much He loves us and the many, many intimate ways that He has touched each one of us as we continue on our faith journey. Thank you very, very much for listening so attentively to God's Word.